From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Coming up this week, a leading lawmaker says raising the state's minimum wage to $9 an hour should be phased in faster. Our political observer Alan Shartok will share his thoughts on what to expect in the next legislative session, and Governor Cuomo heads to the North Country to promote winter tourism upstate. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. New York's minimum wage is now $8 an hour after a new law took effect on December 31st. It's part of a phased-in increase that will result in a $9 an hour rate for the state's lowest income earners by 2016. But a leading lawmaker says the hike should be phased in faster, and advocates for the poor say tip earners like waitstaff should also be included. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports.
Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, who agreed to the phase-in of the minimum wage hike as part of the current state budget, now wants the increase to happen even faster. He'd like to see a rise to $9 an hour 1 year from now instead of in 2 years. Silver is likely to have support from the state's Black, Puerto Rican, and Hispanic caucus, who have also called for a faster phase-in. Mark Dunley with Hunger Action Network, the lobby group for the state's food pantries and soup kitchens, backs the idea. But he says even the new $8 an hour rate is not going to help New York's poorest all that much.
We think the minimum wage should be a lot higher than what the legislature and the governors agreed to. $8 an hour is still way below a poverty level wage.
Under the new minimum wage increase, tipped workers still make a significantly lower rate of pay at around $5 an hour before tips. Dunley says that's an oversight.
People in the food industry, so you're talking about waiters and waitresses, bike delivery people, people delivering pizza by car, they're not getting an increase in their cash wage. And we think that all workers should have been included.
Tipped workers are eligible to receive the $8 an hour rate if they work more than 40 hours a week or 10 hours in any one day. As part of the minimum wage legislation approved in the spring of 2013, Governor Cuomo was to create a new board to analyze wage levels, including those for tipped workers, and recommend changes. The board has not yet been appointed, but is expected to convene in 2014. The Assembly Republican leader, in a statement, responded to the Speaker's desire to speed up implementation of the minimum wage increase. Minority Leader Brian Kolb says if Democrats in the new year want a do-over for bills in 2013, then they should also revisit New York's strict gun control laws enacted last January. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Let's start with a Happy New Year to you, Alan, and to all of our Legislative Gazette listeners.
Yes, and a Happy New Year to you, David, and to all those people who are either facing a tough winter or gone through a tough winter already and are making the best of it. That's why we love them.
Well, let's look ahead. First off, a State of the State address coming next week with the governor. What do you suppose will be some of the major points in his agenda?
I think, David, he'll probably do a lot of what he has done before. He'll call for cleaning up of government. He's furious at some of the sexual shenanigans that are going on in the legislature, and I'm sure he's going to make that point about how they've got to clean up their act. He'll call for some kind of a reform of the electoral system. Yeah, I would bet that he says something about the Board of Elections, because everybody knows it's been dysfunctional, and changing that around. I think everybody will sort of have their eye on is that there is this sort of new progressive thing that is happening not only in New York but across the country. So you have de Blasio, the new mayor of New York, talking about a tale of two cities, saying that every kid should have pre-K. Now, I think I know a little bit about Andrew Cuomo. I've been studying him and his father for years. This is a guy who's thinking all the time, and he's reactive. Somebody hits the tennis ball into his side, he's going to hit it back. I think one of the things you're going to see is that de Blasio's centerpiece in his tale of two cities, rich and poor, was that every kid ought to have pre-K. There's no question about it. You know, every study that has been done and shown shows that every kid who has pre-K has a better chance of doing well in life, better chance of having equality of opportunity, and frankly, better chance of staying out of jail. Now, I'm Andrew Cuomo, and I'm a betting man. I'll tell you something right now. Because he's called for cutting of taxes. Well, if you're living in a little box on Long Island and you're paying $12,000, $15,000, $17,000, $20,000 in taxes on just a little box, that's going to be a very appealing thing for you to hear. And he's talking about spending billions of taxpayer dollars in order to make sure that, you know, we have this reduction and that, you know, we tighten up state government as tight as it can possibly be. So he's going to say to de Blasio, parenthesis, okay, Bill, you're going to get your pre-K. One way or the other, Andrew Cuomo will deliver pre-K and tax cuts. How does that happen? I mean, how can that happen? Easy. If you look around, there's so much waste, there's so much fat in government that it'll happen. Now, if Cuomo says, we'll take it out of the teachers' hides, shame on him. I mean, shame on him, because he should know, and as we all know, that the most important people in our kids' lives and, frankly, in our lives, because we can all look back, are our teachers. So if the money has to come from somewhere, and he takes it either from the poorest of the poor, who just can't afford the hit, or if he takes it from our school teachers or our schools, that won't be a good thing, and he'll probably get some reaction as a result of it.
I'll throw out a name. You give me a reaction of
okay,
what's going to happen.
Sure.
Jeff Klein.
Well, Jeff Klein is the head of the rump group of Democrats who, frankly, didn't like the leadership in the Senate and said we're going into our own sandbox. And with some good reason, by the way. I have to say that I'm not admiring of what he's done here, but he and three others have created a little conference, and they've kept the Republicans in power. I hate to keep going back to Cuomo, but it's in Cuomo's interest, because that way the Republicans are the bad guys. He says, I want more. They say, no, you can't have it. Mario set the gold standard, his father, in how that was done. So now he's got it. Klein, of course, is now detested by the regular Democrats, because there are now more Democrats in the state Senate than there are Republicans. But with the four defectors who are keeping the Republicans in power, it was supposed to be shared, but it's anything but shared power. Now, Cuomo wants to be president. How is he going to walk into the Democratic National Convention and say, oh, yeah, by the way, I kept the Republicans in power in my state? And he did. He said, as a centerpiece of his first campaign, that he would not sign the apportionment bill, which is corrupt. We know that, because who lets people draw their own districts? That's like letting a Steinbrenner umpire the Yankee games, as I've said many times. And then he broke his word, and that kept the Republicans in power. And then he sort of looked the other way with the Klein thing. I'm sure the governor recognized, because as attorney general, he sent a lot of those legislative leaders from the Senate to jail, that all was not well with the Democrats when they got their hands on things. Nevertheless, you know, democracy is democracy. You elect the Democrats, and then you help the Republicans stay in power, even though the Democrats have more votes. That ain't right.
The governor has an upstate strategy, from promoting tourism and wine and beer making to casino referendums. Will it be a success?
Oh, yeah. Well, the governor wanted casinos. It is not a progressive tax. It's reactionary, because what happens is it lands on the poor. We know that. So does the lottery. So does so many of these other things. But there's no question that it will energize certain places. For example, some of those near-defunct or even defunct Catskill hotels, which used to bring in so many people. And it is true that if you don't give people a place to gamble here in New York State, they'll go across the line and they'll gamble in New Jersey or Massachusetts or Connecticut, and they are. So, you know, it's going to happen. We know from Atlantic City and other things that the promises of how it's going to rejuvenate these cities and these other places just is bunk, and it ain't going to happen. as it didn't happen there. But, you know, somebody's going to get rich.
Will hydraulic fracturing for natural gas happen?
I think everybody wants to know. You know, Andrew Cuomo was a guy who came into office and it looked like he was all for fracking. Well, I understood it because if you're going to run for president, then you say, look, you know, I turned the picture around in New York State. I got the free energy and I got more money for the upstate region. But what he didn't count on was a huge backlash from liberal voters and from activists, Yoko Ono and all the others, who really just took this on as their issue. And, you know, in politics, you never know when one of those things is going to bite you in the rear end. And that's what happened here. So in a rather transparent thing, they studied it to death. First, the Department of Environmental Conservation studied it. Then the Health Department studied it. There are still those who believe that Cuomo will endorse some limited fracking. The state is being sued. We're not moving fast enough, or the governor is. It's looking to me like, as long as you can't answer the essential question, which is it safe? And we know that there are many people who believe fracking is not safe and are prepared to prove it.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Again, Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to everybody out there, and to you too, David, for doing this job year after year and doing it so well. We thank you so much.
Thank you.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. A Greene County community is split over whether to allow new power transmission projects to cut through municipalities to feed electricity to New Yorkers downstate. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas has more.
Governor Andrew Cuomo's so-called Energy Highway Blueprint aims to raise the energy supply downstate by 1,000 megawatts to head off a possible energy shortfall in the New York City area. There are at least four power transmission proposals that would impact the town and village of Athens. In the eyes of developers for transmission companies, the community is ideally situated near both the Hudson River and the Leeds Electric substation. Cuomo's 1,000-megawatt effort involves five proposed alternating current projects proposed by four developers. Only three AC projects go near Athens. Athens Mayor Chris Feaster rues the social disruption he says has pitted villagers against one another and against local government.
If this is going to happen, and it's still a long way from completion, but if it's going to happen, then I want to make sure that the village get some sort of substantial benefit out of it. And that's really been my position from the beginning.
Local activists, including ex-mayor Andrea Smallwood, are concerned over what route each of the various projects might take through the village. Their major beef is against West Point Partners, a Connecticut firm proposing a subterranean direct current, or DC, project outside the 1,000-megawatt effort.
We're not necessarily against underground cables. It's a good thing if you're in a major city or in a planned development that already has planned this out. We have old streets here. They're not burying our cables. We're getting nothing out of this except for the disruption. We're very against the West Point Partners project. And the next most invasive alternate current project is the Next Era. And we're against that in the Athens region because it would create a whole new overhead transmission lines, new towers, which would take more land and double up the towers that are already coming out of the Leeds substation.
Chris Hawker of West Point Partners holds out an olive branch.
We absolutely pledge to work with the town and the village to find the best route that has the least impact and alleviates the most concerns. We are expecting that the project, when completed, will have quite an economic benefit for the town and village of Athens and for Greene County in general, and also for New York State in the sense that it will help free up transmission congestion and help power flow.
Hocker stresses that once completed, the line would run from Athens to Cortland completely underground, underwater, and out of sight. The State Public Service Commission is reviewing all of the proposals and responded to a request for comment by email stating, quote, "The PSC is seeking public comment on both the West Point project and the various AC projects. No decision has been made regarding any proposed project." Mayor Feaster takes a wait-and-see attitude.
People are going to have more than ample opportunity to express their opinions. I'm going to try to continue to do what I think is the best for the village.
The Cuomo administration did not return calls for comment.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
A group in the Adirondacks is advocating what they say could be a prime recreational economic opportunity for the region. Adirondack Recreational Trail Advocates wants to convert rail tracks in the central Adirondacks into a recreational trail, but faces opposition from the rail company that wants to restore the tracks. The Legislative Gazette's Pat Bradley explains the dispute.
The New York State Department of Transportation and the Department of Environmental Conservation are reviewing plans for use of the rail corridor between Lake Placid and Utica. The Adirondack Scenic Railway operates two disconnected segments between Utica and Lake Placid. The rail company wants to upgrade the tracks and complete the connection between the communities. But another group wants part of the rail corridor transformed into a recreational trail. Adirondack Recreational Trail Advocates, known as ARTA, has submitted to state officials a plan for conversion to the Adirondack Rail Trail. ARTA co-founder Jim McCulley says a tourist train is appropriate in the southern link, but the northern tracks are little used.
It's the 90-mile section from Old Forge to Lake Placid that we would like to see converted, have the tracks removed, salvaged, and with proceeds from that, surface the trail, much of it for bicycling, and would open up the whole North Country, the network north of Tupper, on up to Canada even, to really good snowmobiling.
ARTA co-founder Dick Beamish notes that the state unit management plan required that if train use proved unsuccessful after 5 years, the rail tracks would be converted to recreational use.
When you have Lake Placid, North Elba, Harriettstown, Tupper Lake, Village of Tupper Lake, Piercefield, Colton, all these communities that are right along the corridor, their resolutions requested for the tracks to be removed. Why the state is not responding to what the people of the region want is really sort of alarming.
The salvage value of the tracks is estimated between $5 and $6 million, which Dick Beamish says would cover the cost of surfacing the rail trail from Lake Placid to Piercefield.
All you need to do is remove the tracks and the ties, and it would be suitable for mountain biking right off the bat. And of course, it would be infinitely better snowmobiling in the winter. One phase connects the Tri-Lakes area, which would be a tremendous benefit to the region in a way these villages have never been connected before. And then the other part of it would immediately be good for this more wilderness kind of experience for a mountain bike.
The debate over whether there should be a recreational trail or if the train should continue to operate peaked this fall when the Adirondack Scenic Railroad reported that a locomotive had been vandalized. Jim McCulley says no one at ARTA was involved.
We condemn any sabotage or any vandalism done to the train or to anything else. I have no sympathy for the vandals. They should be prosecuted to the full extent.
Dick Beamish says the rail company needs to reassess where it is investing its resources and should provide service where it has riders.
These folks are talking about spending many millions of dollars to restore a train service that nobody would really use. There's no demand for it, there's no need for it, there's no point to it. So we love trains, but in the right places.
A link to the proposal that ARTA has submitted to the New York State Department of Transportation and Environmental Conservation is available at WAMC.org.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Pat Bradley.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Governor Andrew Cuomo visited a newly expanded snowmobiler lounge in Lowville this week to unveil a new ad campaign to promote winter tourism upstate. Cuomo says there's new energy in the North Country thanks to increasing economic investment. The Innovation Trail's Joanna Richards reports now that the governor credits the efforts of both the region and his administration in making that happen.
A few snowmobilers, bulky in their warm trail gear, mingle with state and local officials in suits and ties at the Ridgeview Inn. Before the governor hits the trails himself, he tells the crowd that getting more people to come here for winter sports is just a matter of getting the word out.
We have not exposed New York, even to New Yorkers, let alone people around the country, let alone people around the globe. They don't know what we have in upstate New York because we haven't shown them. And part of what we're doing today is just that.
Posters show a snowmobiler sending a cloud of white powder over the New York City skyline. The slogans urge urbanites to venture north for relaxation and adventure. The $4.5 million ad campaign kicks off January 1st and specially targets New York City residents and tourists, with some ads to run on mass transit. The campaign will also reach out to other states and countries. Like the plan to site casinos upstate, Cuomo says it's part of a larger effort to use tourism to grow the upstate economy.
That's what the ad campaigns are all about. That's what the casino placements are all about, upstate New York, resort destinations, to get that big tourism market to head north. Think north.
Just a few weeks ago, the State Parks Office gave snowmobilers access to 19 miles of trails connecting Lewis and Herkimer counties. And two snowmobile clubs have received funding from the North Country Regional Economic Development Council for new trail grooming equipment. One prepared the trails ahead of the governor's ride. Cuomo says all the tourism promotion efforts are paying off, with the number of visitors to the state and the tax revenue they generate up in 2013.
I believe when we talk about the upstate New York economy, North Country, et cetera, tourism has done great things and will continue to do more great things if we develop it.
The governor's appearance in Lowville Monday fit with his focus on upstate economic issues. He's promoted tourism in the region in the warmer seasons by creating a whitewater rafting challenge for state officials in the Adirondacks and taking part in a bass fishing tournament in the Thousand Islands. State environmental officials planned an afternoon snowmobile ride to follow the news conference. The governor got suited up under a bright blue sky, the rare sunny day perfect for the photo op. Then he took off, second in line behind a state police snowmobile. For the Innovation Trail, I'm Joanna Richards in Lowville.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. Copies are available. Call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1401. Or just listen or podcast on the web at WAMC.org. And join us again next week at the same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength is Not for Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.